ಜಯಂ ಶುಪಾಲ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ರಶದ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮನ್ ಅಭಯಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಹರಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಜಯಂ ತ್ರಿಲಾ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟೋ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರಶದ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮನ್ ಭಕ್ತ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹರ್ಷೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಅನಂತಗೋಡಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದಕಿ ನಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ಕಿ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀಯದ್ವೈದ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಗುಂಡ ರಾಧಾಗುಂಡ ಗಿರಿಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಕಿ ಬೃಂದಾವನ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಾಯಾಪುರ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಧುರಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ್ಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿಕಿ ಯಮುನ ಮಾಯಿಕಿ ತುಳಸಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದಕಿ Gaur Premanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. ನಮಾಮಶುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂದಲೇಶ್ವರಿ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ನಿಧಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವದೇವಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಜಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶತಾರಿಣೇ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಸೊ ವಿಲ್ ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಸ್ಯಾಟರ್ಡೇ ವೇರ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಲುಕ್ಡ್ ಅಟ್ ದಿ ಟೂ ಸೂತ್ರಸ್ ಇಸ್ಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಒನ್ ವಾಸ್ ಅಥಾದೋ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವ್ಯಾಖ್ಯಾಸ್ಯಾಮ ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಹೌ ನಾರದ ಮಹರ್ಷಿ ಸೇಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸೂತ್ರಂ ಯು ವಾಂಟ್ಸ್ ಟು explain his realizations. As I mentioned before, the only reason why he wrote Bhakti Sutram was that he felt the need so that people don't misinterpret things in a way which is not Bhakti. In the name of Bhakti, a lot of things goes on in this world, isn't it? So, knowing very well that Bhakti can be get sidetracked or off the track, he felt the need to write Bhakti Sutram, number one. Adhado bhakti vyakhyasyama. First thing is, I'll now talk about bhakti. In other words, he was not commenting on any particular literature already available. Only from his realizations he is writing this. Purely his realizations. That's why he's saying there, adhado bhakti vyakhyasyama. In the second sutra we saw, swatvasmin parama prema rupa. What is bhakti means? Tvasmin parama prema rupa. That parama premam, that pure love for Krishna, the absolute truth, that is, he calls it as bhakti, pure love. While saying that, in the Bhagavadam, if you look, you will see that at the very end of Srimad Bhagavadam, there is a verse which says in the very 12th canto, at the very end, Srimad Bhagavadam Puranam Amalam. It is Puranam, this Puranam Srimad Bhagavadam is Amalam, very pure. Why? Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. It's very dear to Vaishnavas, for the devotees. Vaishnavas means here devotees. Yasmin paramahamsyamekam amalam. What is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavadam is paramahamsa dharmam. Paramahamsa dharmam means those who are finished with this world, those who have no more plans in their head to do anything in this world, those who had decided that they want to go back to Krishna. They don't want to come back again here and continue with this existence in this material body here. Paramahamsa mega dharmam. Paramahamsa dharmam is that. Paramahamsas who have come to that stage of realization in their life. Paramahamsa mega amalam. And that's very pure. Pure, in other words, free from all ragadvesham, attachment, aversion, everything gone. Jnanam param giyate. And the knowledge is spoken in the Bhagavadam. Knowledge is spoken in the Srimad Bhagavadam. People misunderstand sometimes. Bhagavadam is purely a bhakti grantham, a book of devotion. It's not only a book of devotion, it's a book of knowledge as well. It's a book of knowledge as well. Only thing is, because we have made ourselves vulnerable by accepting bhakti means only stories and something, all the pastimes of Krishna, simply connect them with the stories. We start thinking that, I have understood Bhagavadam. People often ask this question, that is that all in Bhagavadam? No, there is more in the Bhagavatam. It takes time to discuss these things, to understand it. And when you understand and when you start realizing it, the depth of realizations of these great sages, particularly Sudeva Goswami's realizations in the Srimad Bhagavatam and all the realizations of those great devotees, then you start realizing there is a lot more in the Bhagavatam than what we originally thought about this. One originally thought about it. That's why it's necessary to discuss Bhagavatam always in depth. Otherwise, it will not click inside. We will just think that, I have understood Bhagavatam, I just read it, it's already there. That we misunderstand like that. But it is not like that. Bhagavatam is not like that. Bhagavatam is a highly philosophical text in the sense that Upanishad's knowledge, Sukadeva Goswami wanted to convey to this world, Vedavyasa Maharshi also. But because ordinary people have difficulty in talking about this subject matter, about self-realization, about conditioning of the soul, about Brahman, about Maya, all these are topics which are very abstract for a person who lives in this world, completely in the bodily concept of life. Therefore, what he has done, that through the pastimes of Krishna, while discussing the pastimes of Krishna, now and then you will see that he has brought in the philosophy very strongly. That is in all the glorifications you will see there. Kunti Devi's glorifications, similarly Bhishma Pitamaha's glorifications, that is where you get the very crux of Bhagavatam. Not in the other parts. Other parts are there, but if you start realizing, understanding Bhagavatam in depth, you will start seeing there a much bigger light inside. And that actually keeps people going in spiritual life when they start reading that. And so many people, after they have touched Bhagavatam, they didn't touch any other book. They don't go and take another book because this book never finishes. Studying Bhagavatam never finishes. So, Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. It is very dear to Vaishnavas who are very thoughtful and nature, trying to understand what is Krishna, what is the truth. For them, it's very dear. Yes, mean there, Paramahamsa Megam Amalam, Paramahamsa Dharmam is discussed. Amalam, it's pure. Jnanam Param Giyade. Bhagavatam says this. It's not anybody else's words. It's Bhagavatam's words alone. Jnanam Param Giyade. That knowledge is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yatra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Sahitam. Along with the Jnanam, what else is discussed? Vairagyam. And jnanam, yatra jnana viragam. Vairagyam means renunciation from this world, freedom from this world. Bhakti sahidam, along with that bhakti also. So basically you can say, Srimad Bhagavatam is these three things. Renunciation, vairagyam, knowledge, jnanam, and devotion, bhakti. Three things. Yatra jnana viraga bhakti sahidam. And the result of that is Naishkarmyam Avishkritam. He comes to a stage of Naishkarmyam. Naishkarmya Siddhi. We discussed that in the second chapter, if you remember, in the Bhagavad Gita. Second chapter is Naishkarmyam. Krishna talks about Naishkarmyam there, isn't it? Naishkarmyam means able to live in this world without being affected by anything. No kartratvam, no ownership, no doership. I am the enjoyer, I am the doer. That has gone completely from a person. Which means that there is no attachment, there is no aversion, no ragam, no dvesham inside. A pure, free state from everything. But karmam goes on still. As though karmam is happening through the person, he is not affected by anything. So that's that naishkarmya state. Yo, yatra jnana viraga bhakti sahidam, naishkarmyam avishkritam. And naishkarma state will come to him. Yet shrunvan vipatan vicharanaparo. Bhaktya vimuchir naraha. That if you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Shrinvan, Vipathan, and if you study Bhagavatam, in other words, if you reflect on Bhagavatam, Vijaranaparo Bhaktya vimuchir naraha. Then you will eventually get released from this material body. That's a guarantee from Bhagavatam. If you Shrinvan, if you hear Bhagavatam, if you study Bhagavatam very well, and at the end, Shrinvan Vibhadan Vijarana Varam. Vijarana is important. Vijarana means constantly analyzing inside what you have heard from Srimad Bhagavatam. So these three things. Yet Shrinvan Vibhadan Vijarana Varo Bhaktya Vimuchir Naraha. That for him, then he will have bhakti, Bhagavatam says. That person who has come to that stage, he will have bhakti. Bhaktya Vimuchir Naraha. It will release, that person will be released from this world once for all. So it is a very final state what Bhagavatam is talking about. So we were discussing that, and so that is why it is important to discuss Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is not something you can read and leave it like that, or read one or two chapters every day. Many people are reading Bhagavatam, there's no doubt about that. But they don't, if you are reading, and some people can read and finish many chapters in an hour or two. But that kind of reading is not good enough. It's not good enough. Unless it is develops into a spiritual realizations inside, that Srimad Bhagavatam, where it is meant to go, the effect is phenomenal when you have understand Bhagavatam in that way. That is why we were discussing this, I discussed with a few devotees, that in July next year, in 2011 summer, in July, we have a plan to have a 2 weeks program, very intensely, to study Bhagavatam. And we will have it in, most probably in Suniti's house, and start with the morning, 5 o'clock or so, and finish by about the afternoon, by 5 o'clock, with a break for a small break for breakfast and lunch. So I'm hoping that we'll get enough time, and particularly this 10th canto, which is Krishna is in that canto, isn't it? Whole Bhagavatam is centered around Krishna, nobody else. It's Krishna who is the center of all the Bhagavatam. And when we hear that this 10th canto, although it is childhood appearance of Krishna and the prayers from the Lord Brahma and the demigods who came to see Krishna in the prison, Garbhastuti as it's called, Vasudev glorifying Krishna, Devaki Devi glorifying Krishna, and subsequently from then on, if you notice Bhagavatam, you will see that wherever he got an opportunity, Suvidev Goswami leaves behind all the stories and brings the message very strongly to us. That if you notice it in the Bhagavatam, you have understood Bhagavatam. Because otherwise, if you simply go after the stories, thinking that story is necessary, why? Because hearing this story, you get attracted to Krishna. But the important message, what is known as Tattvam, isn't it? Tattvam is called in the Bhagavatam, it is called as Tattvam. Vadandida Tattvavidam. What is this Tattvam? People always ask this question. What is this Tattvam? They say, oh, I heard all the story, but what is this Tattvam you are talking about? Tattvam is this. Tattvam is nothing but, from Bhagavatam, one has to learn to extract the truth from there. That will develop inside, spiritually, spiritual development. Certain clear convictions and clarity inside, that this is the truth, there is nothing else except this is the truth. So, to understand the truth, if it's spoken straightforward, it will not have its effect on the people. Most of the people find it difficult to understand that. It gets boring, people fall asleep straight away. That's the topic is like that. It's a very subject, very difficult for most of the people to take it on board. So therefore, right from the appearance of Krishna, you can imagine Krishna from the appearance itself, to kill Kamsa, he didn't have to come here. He could have sat down there and done the job. So it is obvious that we say that Krishna has come here to kill Kamsa, to kill all the demons and all that. The Supreme Personality who has created all these things, he doesn't have to come here to do anything. Being where he is, he's doing that already with all of us, isn't it? When he wants to finish us up, he finishes us. He withdraws from us and we are finished. We are dead there on the spot. It's finished. So can that not be done with Kamsa as well? And Jarasandha and Shishubala? Because who is inside all of them? It's Krishna's presence there also. But the fact that Krishna has come and spend 125 years on this world, and so many activities, Leela, as they are called, Krishna Leela, Bala Leela, the childhood pastimes, all these are some important message to convey to us. And Sukadeva Goswami, utilizing that opportunity, he decided to tell us the truth. Because he is a realized soul, he wanted to tell us the truth through that, through these pastimes. And when you hear that truth, what he has spoken, what Sudeva Goswami has spoken, you definitely have to appreciate that the sincerity and also the honesty in saying certain things, rather than telling us directly on our face. Sudeva Goswami has taken that opportunity through these prayers to present it to us, so that let that have some effect on us. Sudeva Goswami sincerely feels that by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, that will have its impact on the people. So this is the reason behind it, and hopefully we can understand something from Bhagavatam when we have this plan in July next year. So, we were talking about Bhakti Sutram, isn't it? Bhakti Sutram, we were mentioning this. Now, Parama Prema Rupa, he said, isn't it? In the second Sutram, he said Parama Prema Rupa. Parama Prema Rupa means it is not something you can experience with the senses. That's why it is said like that. Not with the senses. Senses and the mind, we have to leave it behind at a certain stage in spiritual life. They are not important anymore. They are finished with, their utility is over. That's only for vyavaharam, for dealing in this world. Senses, the mind, intelligence, they are for vyavaharam, for transactions in this world. But when you come to a spiritual platform, Krishna consciousness, you know that Krishna consciousness is not something related to the senses, mind and the body. They have finished at a certain stage. It is purely on the platform of the soul. That's why it's called transcendental. It's purely on the platform of the soul. Although we say we have to engage our mind, body, senses in spiritual life. Why? So that they don't give you trouble. That's all it is. So they don't trouble you in spiritual life. So that we engage them in the spiritual activities. If the senses are engaged in a spiritual way, they will not bother you. Similarly, the mind. Similarly, the body also. But beyond than that, they are of no significance. They are of no significance. Because this science, what bhakti is, purely on a spiritual platform, is purely the soul that is engaged in that activity, Krishna consciousness. So, Parama Prema Rupa is that. That's why it says in the Upanishads, it says, Yato Vaja Nivartande Aprapya Manasa Saha. That where the words will cannot explain it anymore further, that truth. The mind cannot get there. Mind also is helpless, cannot get into that stage of discussing about the truth. So words and the mind withdraw from that stage. Yato vaja nivartande aprapya. It cannot reach there. Manasa saha. And that is that truth. That is that truth. So we're saying this yesterday, last time, that we are by nature Satta Chitta Anandam, isn't it? Sachidanandam we call it. We all know, everybody, a devotee will tell you this, that we are Sachidanandam. We are not this body, we are Satta Chitta and Anandam. But we have to know what this Satta Chitta Anandam means. Satta means, what does Satta mean? Satta means eternal, isn't it? We say eternal. What is eternity in there? The eternity is this, that as soon as you realize from inside that my existence, I am existing all the time. Aham, aham, aham asmi, aham asmi. I am there, I am there. This is the only truth in this world which cannot be taken away from anybody. All of us exist in this world. That our own existence we are conscious of, isn't it? Or conscious of our own existence. It is that consciousness or that firm realization inside which can never be taken away from you, from any one of us. Aham, aham. Inside that beating heartbeat is a representation of that aham inside. I am existing all the time. That too, that realization is called the Sat aspect. The Sachidanandam means Satta Chitta Anandam. That Sat aspect is of my existence of that. That consciousness. I am existing. Avabhodam it is called. Avabhodam. The word used in Shastram is Avabhodam. Avabhodam means I am conscious of my existence all the time. At no point, even if I close my eyes, if all of you have left this room, still about me I don't have a doubt of my own existence. I am still conscious I am existing. I may not be aware of anybody else's existence. If they leave the room, I may not know about it. But my own existence, I am always conscious. In Jagrat, in Sapnam, in Sushupti, all the time I am existing. That is important point. My existence, you cannot take it away. That is why Krishna said in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, na jayate, na mriyate, va kadajil, naham bhutva bhavido vayana bhuya, ajoha, ajaha, nityaha, shashodaha, puranaha, na hanyade, hanyamane, sharire. Even if you kill the body and the mind, intelligence, he exists still. Which one? This consciousness, I am existing. That continue to exist forever. So this is the most important thing, that sat aspect. This is the satyam. That's why it's called sat. Now, sat is there, and then the second one is the chit. If you look at the chit potency, chit, what we call it chit. What is chit? Chit is nothing but this aham inside, I am existing, has the capacity to know everything else is existing. Isn't it? In the creation, so many things are existing. How do I know they all are existing? Because I know I am existing. Because I have that awareness has got the capacity to become aware of rest of the creation. Rest of the creation. That is what is called a chitta. Chitta means this capacity to become aware, being aware of everything else. Primarily, I am aware of myself, my own existence, aham, that is sat. And secondary thing is, I am aware of everything else in this creation, which is chitta. And these two things, we are always conscious of. Nobody has to tell us these things. If you simply think about it, you can see that it's there in all of us. This doesn't require any logic and reasoning, because it's one's own experience. Isn't it? One's own experience this is. Nobody has to be convinced about it, because it's only if one sits and thinks that I am existing. What am I? Immediately that awareness of me is inside telling me I'm always existing. That cannot be taken away from me. So first thing, that realization. Secondly is from that when aham comes, from idam comes. Idam means all the other things. Aham comes, then idam comes. Everything else comes. So, this awareness of my existence and the awareness of the rest of the creation, which is called the chit potency, these two are known to us. But then only the third thing is the one which we are not aware of, anandam, isn't it? Anandam is the one which we have no idea what that means, isn't it? Anandam, we have no idea what that means. Sachidanandam, Sachidanandam we say, but when it comes to the fact is that Anandam is an unknown entity. It is Anandam, that's what we are searching in this world, everywhere, running here, running there, looking that something will make me happy here. But actually, that Anandam is misunderstood, and it comes in the form of sensual enjoyment. It turns into sense enjoyment. And misunderstanding comes to people that is Anandam, that sense enjoyment. Sense enjoyment is not Anandam. Sense enjoyment is sense gratification, that's all. It's nothing more than that. But real Anandam, what Krishna talks about, this Sachidanandam, this third thing, this Anandam is what we are searching after. And this word Anandam, another word for that is Bhakti. Bhakti is Anandam. And that experienced in the pure state of consciousness, pure bhakti, it is then that you experience Anandam. So these are the important things. This we have to be always conscious of. What is Satta? What is Chitta? What is Anandam? Only in the background of that, we can go further from here. So normally, in the loving Swatvasmin Parama Prema Rupa, the second sutram we discussed on Saturday, that it says there, Swatu Asmin Parama Prema Rupa. Pure love for Krishna. So in every relationship, there is a person who is loving, another person who is loved, and this feeling of relationship, loving relationship between the two. These three things are always there. These three things are always there. The person who is loving, the person who is being loved, and also the process of that loving exchange between the two. Now, on this issue, there is differences among different philosophical positions. The Advaitis believe that up to this point, everyone is in agreement. There is no problem with different schools of thought. But Advaitis believe that in pure love, both the lover and the beloved becomes one. The person who is loving and the person who is loved becomes one. And in the Vishishta Dvaitis believe that the Dvaitis believe on the other way that they can never become one. They can never be. These are all the differences in a much higher level between the Dvaitam, Advaitam and all that. So Advaitis believe they can become one. The love come to that stage. It is in the Bhagavatam all these things are there. This is confirmed in the Bhagavatam. Both Advaitam is confirmed, Dvaitam is also confirmed there. A different level, what one is inclined to, he will go in that direction. That's all. So, in the extreme situation of this realization, Sanibhuti, that it can happen, one can forget one's own existence. Because the association is so close that it becomes one with the truth. So, these are the basic differences between Dvaitam and Advaitam. Advaitam believes that it will become one. The person who is loving and the person who is loved, they can become one. And that is their bhakti process. And the Dvaitis believe that they can never become one. So this difference is there. Kamam krodham bhayam sneham aikyam saukhradam eva cha nityam haro vitatado yandi tanmayadam hite. It says here, then in the 10th canto, if the 29th chapter, if you look, there is a verse there. Kamam, krodham, bhayam, sneham. These are different emotions in a person. Aikyam, sauhurdam, evaja, nityam harao vidhatato yandi tanmayadam hide. All these different emotions, if it is applied to Krishna, one can become one with Krishna. Bhagavadam says like that. Tanmayatvam. Tanmayatvam means he can become in one with Krishna. Dvaitis won't accept that. It is the Advaitis position. But Tanmayatva means so. Kasyam chit subhujam nyasya chalandi ahabara nanu krishnoham pashadagadim lalidamidi tanmana. In the Rasa dance, if you look there, you will see there that at one point Krishna left the gopis and went away from there. Isn't it? At that time, the gopis started imitating Krishna. You know that gopis started. All the gopis, when Krishna left and went away, suddenly in the middle of Rasa dance, Krishna disappeared. So that time, gopis started imitating Krishna. Some of them said, I am Krishna. Tadanmanaska tadalaba tadvishta tadvijeshta tadalmiga tadgunane vagayandyo almagara anisasmaru. Sudeva Swami says there that because they got so absorbed in the truth, in Krishna. Tanmanaska tadalaba tadvijeshta tadalmigaha. That they were crying in such a way, the whole mind was completely in Krishna. And what else? Tadalaba tadvijeshta. They were singing about Krishna's pastimes, what they had together with Krishna. All those pastimes they were singing without any. It came in the form of songs from gopis. Tadvijeshta tadalmigaha. And then they started imitating Krishna, the way Krishna walked, the way Krishna smiled, the way Krishna dealt with different demons, and the way Krishna showed his loving relationship with the gopis. Everything they started acting. Some of them said, I am Krishna now. This is how Krishna did like this. And they have become so much in one with Krishna in their actions. This has happened to the gopis. This kind of bhakti is rare, that a devotee comes to that stage saying that I am Krishna and acting in that way. You will see in the Bhagavatam in the 3rd canto, Swayambhu Manu used to do that. If you look in the 3rd canto, you will see there. He also was fond of this because Ayalayamas Tasyasan, he says there that in Swayambhu Manu's life, there was not more than one yamam where there was no, Krishna was not involved. So absorbed he was in the spiritual life that all the time he remembered Krishna, and sometimes he used to sing, sometimes he used to hear, and sometimes he used to act also Krishna's pastimes. He used to dress and act himself, Swayambhu Manu used to do that. So the gopis is the next personality you see in the Bhagavatam who have done that. Swayambhu Manu has done that in the 3rd canto, and here in the 10th canto you see gopis have done exactly the same thing. Tanmanaska tadalaba tadjujeshta tadalmiyaha. That, and they engage in such a way. Tadgunaneva gayandyo. Singing about Krishna and engage in this, they have completely forgotten their home, their relations, family, children, parents, husbands. Everything was forgotten. That's why I say, Tadgunane vagayendyo, Almagarani sasmaru. Almagarani samsmaru. That they could not remember their own children at home waiting for them. They have forgotten all that. So imagine what state of consciousness is that. That they were able to stay in that state of relationship with Krishna. Relationship with Krishna. Tana vidanmayanushanga baddhaha dhyasamalpanamadastathedam yatha samadho munayobdhidoye nadya pravishta ivanamarupe. This is in the same 12th chapter of the Canto 11. When Krishna talks about gopis, he says there that gopis, because they were thinking about me, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, they were so much absorbed in me, they were even higher than the great sages who are performing meditation in the Himalayas. That dhyanam, the meditation was so deep in the gopis' heart that they were in a much higher platform than the great yogis who forcefully try to focus on Krishna with their mind and all the yoga processes, what they were practicing. Because they want to remember about the truth, Paramatma realization, they are trying hard. So they engage in meditation, isn't it? Meditation process they engage in. So when they engage in meditation process, they are trying to keep all chittavrittis away from inside. No thoughts to allow to get in, inside the mind. They want to keep it away outside and be fully firm and fixed on the truth, on the form they are meditating upon. But what's interesting here is, gopis never did that in the way like the yogis did. Krishna is saying, yogis were more absorbed in thinking about me, because yogis, sometimes their mind will go. With their best intentions and best effort, they can forget it. But gopis never forgot Krishna. That is why Krishna is giving them the greatest yogis. Then, yatha vrajagopiganam, like the gopis vrindavanam. We think that gopis were ordinary people, they are just had childhood pastimes with Krishna. But they were such advanced in their thoughts. Inside, consciousness was so deep, absorbed in Krishna 24 hours, that they were able to sustain that throughout their life. Therefore, what happens was, yatha samabdho munayo abdhidoye nadya pravishta iva namarupa. Just like great sages who are absorbed in the truth, yatha munayo samadho munayo, then abdhitoye madhyaha pravishta iva namarupe. Just like abdhitoye means that when the rivers are flowing to the sea, they go and then they get completely dissolved in the sea. Isn't it? There is no more individuality after that. Nadya pravishta. Nadi has become one with the ocean. Similarly, gopis also, Bhagavatam is saying, nadya pravishta, they entered into such a state, namarupe has gone. Namam and rupam has gone. Namarupa means everything in this world has a name and a form. We give it to it. We give to everything, isn't it? A name and a form. So the name and form does not appear for them anymore to such an extent that unity with Krishna. The example Bhagavatam is saying like that yatha samabdho samadho munayo abdhidoye nadya pravishta iva namarupe. So the heart of a devotee is fully concerned about, conscious of Krishna all the time. Therefore, with bhakti, that gets melted. The heart gets melted for a devotee. So here you'll notice something. In Bhakti Sutram, he has not defined specifically, Narada Maharshi has not spoken about any particular deity in that way. Because bhakti can happen to others also in different forms. Bhakti can happen. But bhakti's general nature, he talked about it. For example, some people may be attracted to the Vishnu form. Some people may be attracted to Narasimha form. Some people may be attracted to Krishna's form, Parthasarathi form. So because there are so many different forms which one can get attracted to, Krishna's different forms, or even those who are attracted to the other forms like Shiva's or other form, they also could have this bhakti inside. Or sometimes one could be attracted to the spiritual master in the same way. So, and some other people, they worship the whole world as Krishna. They see Krishna's presence in the all over the world. And so therefore, generally it is said, the person who is worshipping and the person object it is worshipped, there has to have some difference. Only then that you can enjoy bhakti. When it becomes one, it is difficult. That there is no more loving relationship then. Because you have already merged there, isn't it? So therefore it is said like that. So bhakti's definition is that Antaryami, who is Krishna within everyone's heart, he is Antaryami, isn't it? Antaryami means one is present in everyone's heart. And who is a supreme personality, to him, when we offer everything for his pleasure and completely surrendering to him, and that love without expectation of anything from Krishna, that is bhakti. That is bhakti. That is the definition. That is why it said like that, swatvasmin parama premaruva. We'll go into the third one now. The third sutram says, what is the nature of that bhakti? He says here. What is the nature of that bhakti? He says, amrita swarupachaha. Amrita swarupam. That is the nature of that bhakti. That's all he has to say. Narada Maharshi says only that much. Amrita swarupachaha. Amrita swarupachaha. So why is it called amrita swarupam? Amrita means what? Amrita means nectar. Isn't it? Amrita means nectar. So freedom from death, or in other words, immortality. That's what he's talking about. Immortality. That's the nature of bhakti. Immortality means, he says here, that it's not based on the body. It's not our bodily existence given any importance in there. Bodily existence is not given importance because everyone knows the body has to go one day. No matter what you do in this world, the body will go. You cannot stop that. That is the way the world has been created. So, that is not what is referred to as amrita swarupachaha. Amrita swarupa means not that you will, in your body you will be comfortable. You'll be happy in this world. No. Secondly, you can say, is it relation with the heavenly planets where one could go and enjoy? Even that is temporary. Even that is temporary. Even that is temporary. So, even that is temporary, and therefore, bhakti is not there either. Bhakti is not there. One who is desiring for living in this world forever, in this body, it is difficult for him to have bhakti. One who is desiring to go to the heavenly planets to enjoy there also you cannot have bhakti. Because bhakti is a very high state. In other words, for whom he has finished with this world and understood that this body is only something to be thrown away at the end. It's not to be carried with us anywhere. It has to be thrown away. Somebody has given it to us, and we have to throw it back to the same person who has given it to us. To that extent, we have to be separated from the body. Separated from the body. Because most of our adhyasam, in Shastram the word used is adhyasam. Adhyasam means all of us have thought that if I can be happy in this world with this body, it is the best situation. This is called the primeval ignorance. Primeval ignorance or primary ignorance. Primary ignorance is this, to think that I am happy in this, I can be happy in this body. This is our basic primary ignorance. So, unless we get out of this primary ignorance, it is not possible to understand bhakti. Bhakti begins when we realize is that I am not this body. Body is not mine. These are very fundamental things. I am not this body. Body is not mine. And body is not meant for my enjoyment. It's not been given to me for enjoying. This is also another misunderstanding. It has come to me due to my own creation of karma vasanas I have created. Material nature has made this body and handed over to me. And just like material nature has handed it over to me, it will take it away from me when the purpose is over. When the job is finished, material nature will come and take it away. It won't ask you when it gives you the body, it won't ask you when it takes it away from you. Neither of the situation, material nature asks for our permission. Would you like to have this body? There's no choice also there. This is very important matter because when we start thinking about this body, we are always thinking that, somehow or the other, I can be happy in this body. This will never leave us, this thought. We'll try all sorts of ways to keep this body going, isn't it? Through medicines, through treatment, or going to massage or something or the other. This is actually, all these things will make us convinced that we will still feel some security in the body. Security in the body, because that's all what we know. We don't know anything else. That's why we are taking shelter of this body. But so the point here is, Krishna is saying there, that the when proper understanding comes, a devotee will not care for this body anymore. Then you may ask the question, how do I do devotional service? You may do devotional service, you may not do devotional service. That's another thing. The important thing to this knowledge is more important than whether you are doing devotional service or not. If you have understood you are not this body, that's much more valuable as far as Krishna is concerned than all the 60 years of devotional service what you have done. Because ultimately, to come to this point, you are doing all this devotional service. Isn't it? So that's what is one should understand, that we are doing all this devotional service to end, to come to this understanding that I am not this body. So if we simply accept it from the beginning, this understanding that I am not this body, and this body does not belong to me, and the body is not meant for my enjoyment. Three things: I'm not this body, body is not mine, and body is not meant for my enjoyment. If we keep that all the time, conscious of that, then bhakti is easy to understand. It's easy to understand bhakti. Otherwise, when we attach to the body, everything in relationship with the body, if we start spiritual life, then it will go for a long haul. It will take a very long time to get out of that understanding. So here, and therefore, devotee does not pray to Krishna even for liberation. What he prays to Krishna is that at some stage, when Krishna sees that person has come to some deeper understanding, and Krishna observes his activities in this world, how much he is attached to the body, how much karma vasana has left him, how much he is freedom from ragadvesham, attachment and aversion, how much he is free from ownership, doership and enjoyment. When all these things are wiped out from inside, Krishna gives him bhakti at that stage. That's the stage when one gets bhakti. Proper bhakti, what Krishna is, Marada Bhakti Sutram is saying. It is at that stage proper bhakti happens. Keeping the body together and executing bhakti, that has its own problems, in the sense that our identification with the body is so strong that will always be behind looking after the interests of the body. So therefore, if you notice all the great personalities in the Bhagavatam, like Jadabharata, like Vritrasura, they all did not care for the body, isn't it? What did Vritrasura say to Indra? Vritrasura says to Indra, what good is this body for me? He has the biggest body compared to everyone else. Aham hare tavapadaiga moolam dasa anudaso bhavidasmi bhuya manasmare asubader gunamste griniyava karma karodugayam na nagabrishtam na japarameshtyam na sarvabhaumam na rasadhipatyam na yoga siddhi abunarbhavam va samanjasatva virahiyakankshe. Vritrasura's statement, if you read in the Bhagavatam, you will see that he had no desire to come back here again and to accept another body. He says, what good is this body? He says to Indra, Indra, if you don't show mercy on me now, this is all happening in the battlefield. Another, like Kurukshetra war, this is another interesting war between Vritrasura and Indra. In Kurukshetra, what is interesting is that Krishna hands over all the army to Duryodhana and says, you can fight from the other side, I'll fight from Arjuna's side. Nobody does like that these days, isn't it? In the war, normal war is not like this. That is why Kurukshetra war is special. There Krishna is saying that, Duryodhana, you can have all my army or me. Duryodhana says, I'll have the army. And he stays with Arjuna. Army fights for Duryodhana. Isn't it? That you know, the story in Mahabharata. So, in that situation, you can see that same way in Vritrasura's fighting against Indra also, at one point Indra has got this weapon, which was made from the Dadiji Maharshi's backbone. He made that weapon. And he wanted to kill Vritrasura, but in Vritrasura's mouth he went inside. It was so big, the body was so big. Indra went inside. And Vritrasura is saying to Indra, Indra, cut my stomach and come out so that I can fight with you, he says. Because if you don't come out, what will happen? You will stay there. I won't die. If I don't die, how can I go back to Krishna? This is what Vritrasura's point was that. So there you can observe also the same thing, that bhakti, they all value bhakti. Vrutarasara is one of the greatest devotees, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, he is a great devotee. So he is praying to Krishna like this, what good is this body for me? It has to be left here anyway. It's not what I want to have. But what I like to have, what he says to Krishna is that dasanu daso bhavidasmi bhuya, that I remain as your servant. In other words, in pure Krishna consciousness. Krinidava karma karyotu kayam. Na nagaprashtam, whatever has been offered to me. Nagaprashtam means the Indra's position. I don't want it, he says. Naja parameshtam, no emperorship. Na rasadalam, I don't want ownership there. No, any yoga siddhi, I don't want any of that. Samanjastha virahaya gangshe. Only what I'm feeling now is separation from you. This is devotee. This is devotee. That intense feeling of separation from Krishna, that is devotee. That is devotee. So you can see that this style of devotion, what is discussed in the Bhagavadam, happens when Krishna gives that to a devotee. It's only by Krishna's mercy that happens. It doesn't happen other way. So here, Amrita Swarupacha, that's what Narada Maharshi says. Amrita Swarupa means this is the nature of that Krishna consciousness of that person. Amrita Swarupa. I mean, he feels very well that when by his sacrifice and by the yoga process and also constantly feeling that separation from Krishna, when inside gets purified, Krishna, out of his causeless mercy, through his kripa, he gives the bhakti to that person. He gives bhakti to that person. So the burning desire of going back to Krishna and also all purifications, what's necessary to be done in this world by sacrificing everything in this world for Krishna's pleasure, and also that is tyagam, and also the yoga process, bhakti yoga process as discussed in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, and feeling intense separation from Krishna, when one engages in that, eventually Krishna, out of his causeless mercy, gives that bhakti to that person. That is called kripa. This is Bhagavata Dharma. We are discussing Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma is based on this principle. If you look into all the devotees' life, great, great devotees, you will see this. They lived a very difficult life in this world. They had to tolerate a lot in this world. They were suffering for want of wealth, and they were criticized and offended by the people in this world, ordinary people, mundane level, who are thinking in the mundane world. And they had to tolerate the world, they had to tolerate their own family, they had to tolerate everyone in this world before reaching that state. All the great devotees, if you look, you will see this. They had to go through such intense experiences in this world before they could become a devotee, before they call themselves as devotee. So that is why. But when you reach that state, Narada Maharshi says, Amrita Swarupacha. At that state is Amritam, nectar. Once you reach that state, Amrita Swarupam. That is the nature of that bhakti. Then, in the next sutram, he says, that Ya Labdhua Puman Siddho Bhavadi, Amrito Bhavadi Tripto Bhavadi. If that devotion has happened to a person, this Amrita Swarupa Bhakti has happened to a person, what will happen to him? Ya Labdhua Puman Siddho Bhavadi. Once you get there, you will become Siddha. You will become perfection in that. Ya Labdhua Bhavadi, after getting this Amrita state, Amrita Nectarian state, what Bhagavadam is saying, Labdhua Puman Siddho Bhavadi, he come to the perfectional stage. Amrito Bhavadi Tripto Bhavadi. He becomes immortal and he also becomes totally satisfied. In Mahabharatam, there is an interesting story about this. You know Janamejaya, which is Parikshit's son. There is a difference in Mahabharatam and Bhagavatam in these things. Bhagavatam gives in one way and Mahabharatam talks about in a different way. According to Bhagavatam, Janamejaya has not seen Krishna. In Mahabharatam, there is a conversation between Janamejaya and Krishna. So you will see all these differences but they are not important. That is not what is important. People who are studying history, they will be interested in these things. How can it be? They will ask. And then they will say, both are wrong. this is not correct, that's not correct. They'll reject everything and then they'll go. That's not how you have to study Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam or Puranas. Any Puranam when you study, if you start making it historical research work on, if you start doing research on Puranam, you will be lost. You won't make anywhere. You won't get anywhere, and even in a very short time, your spiritual life will finish with that. Because Puranams were saying so many things like this. So Janamejaya asking Krishna in Mahabharatam this question, that why did you not look after my grandmother, Draupadi? Great-grandmother, isn't it? Draupadi was Arjuna's wife. So when Draupadi was going through this, when she was disrobed by Dushasana in the assembly of the Kauravas and the Pandavas, in that great assembly, Bhishma was there, Drona was there, everybody was there, Pandava was there. And why did you, could have looked after her, couldn't you? He said, why did you not do it? It is in the Mahabharatam, this conversation between Krishna and Janamejaya. Why did you not do it? Krishna says to Janamejaya, Janamejaya, it's like this. It's not that I did want to protect Draupadi, but she didn't want me to protect her. That was the problem. Initially she thought, I have such powerful brothers sitting, or so powerful husbands here, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadeva. She looked at all of them, whether they will protect me now. Nobody did anything about her. Then she turned around to Bhishma and others who were present there. They also didn't do anything about it. So Krishna says, I wanted to do something, but she doesn't want me, what can I do? This is Krishna's answer to Janamejaya. I didn't want her to go through all that experience, but she didn't want me. She had put all her faith in all these husbands and all these relations and everything. That was the problem, he says. And the next thing he says was that, then he calls me at the end when everything is finished, he calls me, O Dwaraka Vasin. As though from Dwaraka to get here, I had to buy the train ticket and get here. It takes time. That means she has not understood me yet, who I am. So if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there, when this incident happened, Draupadi, it took a while for her to understand who is Krishna. So immediately after that, she is addressing Krishna, Vishwalpan Vishwabhavana. As soon as she said that, the sari started getting extended. When these two words came out from Draupadi's mouth, what is that? Vishwalpan Vishwabhavana. Vishwalpan means one who is present everywhere in everyone. That's Krishna. When she accepted that, Krishna says, it makes my job easy. Then I could act straight away, because she has addressed me properly, who I am. Otherwise, he was addressing me, Dwaraka Vasin. Dwaraka Vasin means, I'm living in Dwaraka, isn't it? I don't live here, I only live in Dwaraka. And that Krishna did not appreciate very much. That's why Draupadi had to go through that situation. A little delay happened in Draupadi's case. Uttaradevi's case, no delay. That is why Uttara's surrender is superior to Draupadi's surrender. Because of this, Uttaradevi says, all these men who are standing around me, they're all useless, he says, because they're also going to die tomorrow. What can they protect me when they themselves are subject to death? That's why she said, isn't it? Pahi pahi mahayogin deva deva jagalpade nanyam tvadvayam pashel yatra mrityu parasparam. That mutually, they are all subject to death. One will die, another will die, another will die. They'll all die and go. So what can they protect me? I am also subject, they are also subjected to death. So there's no question of protection here. Protection is only for you, nobody else. This is surrender. That is why Uttaradevi's surrender in Bhagavadam, why Parikshit was chosen to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. This mercy, what was given to Uttaradevi, is Sukadeva Goswami has always kept it in his head. That mercy of Uttaradevi's surrender to Krishna is what prompted Krishna to give Bhagavatam to Parikshit as the first listener in this world. That is the main reason. Parikshit on his own was not qualified because of this mother's surrender. Such an amazing surrender that she left everyone else, went straight to Krishna's lotus feet for protection. And therefore, in the Bhagavatam, you will see in the fifth canto, when there is no connection with any of those activities in the Mahabharata, what happened, when it comes to a particular point, Parikshit was enjoying Srimad Bhagavatam to such a level, immediately Sudeva Goswami addresses Parikshit, Uttaratanaya, Uttaradevi's good fortune you are. Uttaradevi's fortune is what you are enjoying now, he says to him. He says to Parikshit that it is Uttaradevi's fortune, that surrender what Uttaradevi has made to Krishna, that's what you are enjoying now, this Bhagavatam in this form. You are having it now at the time of death, you are hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam because your mother made that surrender to me. And Krishna did appreciate that very much at the time. So, Uttaradevi did not make that mistake. Draupadi made a little mistake. It took a while for her to come to understand that Krishna is somebody waiting for you. So, Krishna is to be shaken shelter, nobody else. Uttaradevi had no doubt. Draupadi had a little doubt. Then Janamejaya asked Krishna another question. That's more interesting than this one. The interesting was that why did you not protect Yudhishthira Maharaj? Why did you not protect him, Yudhishthira Maharaj? Krishna says to Janamejaya, it's like this. This Yudhishthira, his whole faith was in dharma. He thought dharmam will protect me. He had this misunderstanding in his head. Dharmam won't protect anybody. That also has to be understood. Dharmam, although we say sometimes dharmo rakshati rakshita, dharmam, because nobody knows what is dharmam. This is the problem with dharmam. We say, if you live in a dharmic way, dharmam will protect you. But Krishna's point is, dharmam cannot be guaranteed. It cannot guarantee you. It is surrender to Krishna that will protect, not dharma. Dharma won't protect. So he says, why? Oh no, Krishna says to Janamejaya, all through life, the only thing he spoke about was dharma. Dharma. That's the only message he had to say. And then I gave him a lot of opportunity. Krishna says to Janamejaya to come to this understanding. But he won't accept it. He goes and plays this, he does this gambling with all the other kings. In which Dharma Shastram is written that you have to gamble? Krishna is asking Janamejaya. In which Dharma Shastram does it say that you have to gamble? So Janamejaya said, is it not normal that Kshatriyas gamble? Well, normal is one thing, he said. But Dharmam doesn't allow gambling. Gambling creates problems. So he should not have got involved in that. He got misled by the world. World misled him. Because all the kings were gambling, and it was an ill-conceived perception at that time that gambling was acceptable to Kshatriya kings. On that pretext, he has accepted gambling and he decided to gamble because he was invited by Duryodhana to gamble. Okay, that was a mistake he has done. I accept that, Krishna says. I accepted it was a mistake he has committed. I gave him another chance. He didn't take it, he says. What was that chance? Chance was this. When they started gambling, what happened was that Duryodhana says, I am not good at gambling. My uncle Shakuni, he is good at gambling. He will do the gambling and instead of me. And I was sitting there ready for Duryodhana, Yudhishthira Maharaj to call me. Then I also can't play, Krishna will play on my behalf. Instead of saying that, he never did that. He said, oh, I can do it. So I said, what can I do? I wanted to get in. I was waiting there, he says to Janamejaya. He says, I was waiting there, Yudhishthira, to call me to play against Shaguni. I would have finished the whole thing in 1 minute there itself. But he wouldn't do it. So what to do? He had his faith in dharma and he had faith in his ability, in his own ability that he could beat Shaguni in the gambling, in the game. Yeah. So I was ready with the dice, he says, Krishna says, ready to get in and play the game. But what can I do? He has no faith in me. Yudhishthira has no faith in me. He's always talking about dharmam, dharmam, dharmam to everybody. So this is the problem, that in our life also, we will talk millions of things, everything else in this world. Somebody will say whether I should perform this ceremony, that ceremony. We get attracted by all other things in the peripheral things. But the important thing, what is concerned about, Krishna is saying here, is that how much you trust me. That's Krishna's question to all of us. How much have you faith in me? That is why surrender is not an easy thing. To withdraw the mind from everything else in this world and completely accepting Krishna's authority. And Krishna is the one, all this world is running, Krishna is running this. We are not running. We will not give up that concept in our head, isn't it? Krishna is running this through these different bodies, different forms of actions coming, different modes of natures are working. Everything under Krishna's control, not through our effort. We have very little role in any of these things, practically nothing. It's just happening through us, all the karma. That's why he says there, isn't it? Pragriya kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Ahankara vimodhalpa. So that is ahankaram. The false ego is this. And it is very difficult to get rid of that. Till that goes away, when ahankaram goes away, then we can say what is bhakti. Then you will know what's bhakti. Up to that point, it is difficult to understand. So if this can happen to Draupadi, it can happen to Yudhishthira Maharaja, who were with Krishna in this world, what to talk about our situation? Even they were finding it difficult to put that faith in Krishna when Krishna was with them, in spite of all the other experiences they had. So, in Mahabharatam, this incident between Janmeja and Krishna is spoken only to tell us that this false ego inside, which Yudhishthira Maharaj had, to some degree Draupadi also had, was not easy to wipe it away from inside. They were finding it difficult to accept that Krishna is there to protect us. That faith hasn't become sufficiently strong inside. This is that point. So here, Sri Narada Maharshi is saying here that ya tripto bhavadi, amrito bhavadi, tripto bhavadi, siddho bhavadi, yam ladhva puman. When one gets that proper bhakti, then that surrender is complete. There is no more thinking independently, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Nor any time thinks that it is my credit that everything is going on in this world. I've done this, I've done that. And because of me, so many people are I'm being maintained and I'm the controller. All that thoughts will completely go away from inside. So, tattu vishayatyagal sangatyagalscha. Maharshi, Narada Maharshi says here that if you look at the word puman, puman means, you see, that's also interesting, that by using that word, puman, Narada Maharshi is pointing out one important thing. Varnashrama dharmam has nothing to do with bhakti. Varnashrama dharmam has nothing to do with bhakti at this stage. Pure bhakti to practice, varnashrama dharmam cannot interfere in that. Varnashrama cannot interfere in that. That's why if you look at the discussions between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy also, at a particular stage, Ramananda Roy spoke about Varnashrama Dharma, isn't it? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, go further. Varnashrama Dharma has a limit. At that, you have to leave it at that point. Pure bhakti is not intercepted or interrupted by Varnashrama Dharma either. There, it is complete surrender to Krishna. So, one who is Siddha, who is Purnam, it means he is complete in himself and at the same time ignorance is gone away and he is experiencing the blissful nature of the soul. And that is that blissful nature, when you experience that, is the third thing called Satta Chitta Anandam. Anandam is that stage when it happens. Satta Chitta you can experience today. Nobody has to justify it, isn't it? Satta existence, my existence, I know very well, it exists. Chitta existence, I know very well, because it is I am existing, all this world is existing. If I am not aware of my own existence, the world does not exist, isn't it? This is where the Vedic philosophy, Vedantam and science is clashing. Science has this biggest blunder in their head, that they are not taking into account of your own existence. They are taking into account of the existence of the creation. Vedantam is saying, because you are existing, this world is existing. So, if you are searching for the truth, search in me, not in the world. This is the position of the Vedas. Vedas have concluded all this long. They have gone so deeper level, they have thought about it. They are saying, if you are searching for the truth, search inside me, the person there who is inside. That is where the truth is. Because he has this awareness all the time, I am existing. And because that existence awareness is there of my existence, I am aware of the rest of the creation. Isn't it? We are going into this world, going to Mars, going to moon, going here, going there, everywhere searching to find out what is the origin, where did all this come from. Vishwam Vishnu Ashalkaro. That's why, you see, if you study some of the Vedic mantras, they only insist on this one point. Vishwam Vishnu Ashalkaro. Vishwam means this creation is Vishnu. That is, the origin is from him. From that consciousness, this whole world has come. Suppose you are not conscious of your own existence. Does this world exist? Doesn't exist, isn't it? It doesn't exist. World is existing, why? Because you are aware of your own existence, your own consciousness. And that, in turn, is making you aware of the whole creation. Aware of the whole creation. You can't find the origin in the creation. You have to find the origin in the consciousness where it originally came from. That is the most important one. That's where Vedantam is a challenge to science. Science has not answered this question. Till now, science could not answer this question because science has not understood that this awareness is such an important factor. Although they will keep talking about knowledge, about soul and all, their understanding of the soul is so limited that they have not understood that it is from there everything has begun. The world has begun from there, inside. The world is inside us, not outside. It is in that consciousness this world is experienced, isn't it? The world is experienced because of that aham, asmi, inside, that soul's presence inside. I am experiencing the awareness, or I have the experience of this whole creation existing right in front of me. Otherwise, it's no meaning for me. Suppose I am not conscious of my own existence, that which I am at the moment, and every one of us all the time, is conscious of my own existence first, which is Sat, then comes the awareness of the existence of everything. These two capacity, these two potencies, is the nature of the soul. Because only the soul can do this. It's because of the presence of the soul, you are conscious of your own existence, you are conscious of the existence of the whole creation, Sat, Chitta. Sandram, Anandam, Avabhodam. That's how it is said. Sandra, Ananda, Avabhodatmakam. Bodhatmakam, avabhodam it is called, avabhodam. Avabhodam means this awareness all the time, this awareness inside, I am existing, which cannot be taken away at any time, isn't it? Anyway, this is Upanishad statement. You can't even go further than that, because Upanishad brings you up to this point and tell you that now you search in this direction. It's only telling you the route to go. It does not tell you, go outside in the world and inquire and search everywhere in the world where the truth is. You can imagine last year or year before, I can't remember that the scientists created this God particle, isn't it? Austria, I think they did. Switzerland or Austria? Switzerland, isn't it? God particle. And they were trying to develop this. You can imagine the ignorance behind it, how deep level it has gone in when they don't accept this understanding. They created a particular equipment, I can't remember the name. Accelerator. And they were saying that you might find out the truth through these machines. They have some special attachment for these machines they have created somehow. And they spend billions of pounds on that. Lots and lots of money have been pumped into that project. And they were hoping that, but somehow it didn't happen. They still have not found the God through all this. Some strange understanding like this. But Vedantam is challenging science in this aspect, saying to the science, look, first see this one aspect, that your existence, what are you? I'm soul. And soul is that consciousness. It's from there, my existence, I'm conscious of all the time. That is the most fundamental thing. That is Atma. That is soul, isn't it? And that's Krishna. That's Krishna. And if you accept Krishna in that way, then you can see it is by Krishna's mercy everything is happening. The presence of the soul inside. We become aware of everything else in this world. If that soul does not allow us to do that, then this world doesn't exist. Then what is there to research about? So this understanding from the science, which is on a much, much lower level, if they have to come a long way to come to understand about the soul. All the scriptural texts, spiritual texts, are all centered around the soul and the understanding from the soul. Whereas the whole material science, where all these big universities are massive volumes of books and other things they have printed over it, and teaching the same ignorance to many other young people, and eventually they will end up with godlessness. So anyway, in this, he says here, amrudo bhavadi, tripto bhavadi, siddho bhavadi. That's what happens to a person who has come to that realization. So, so one who cannot come out of material life, what should he do? That was the next question. So, what answer to that, Narada Maharshi says, loke abhi bhagaval guna shravana kirtanat. That is the choice. That loke abhi bhagaval guna shravana kirtanat. The only thing you can do at that stage is to come out of this material thoughts or the influence of this material world. The best thing to do, Narada Maharshi says, Bhagavad Guna Shravana Kirtanad. Not allow the mind to grow. Not allow the mind to grow. If you study all the subjects in this world and increase the size of the mind will become the greatest obstacle later. The minimum the size of the mind, the easier to progress in spiritual life. So, Bhagavad Guna Shravana Kirtanad. Hearing about Krishna, hearing about the soul, glorifying Krishna, glorifying the soul is is the possible, is the way, he says. And then he says here that even while engaged in activities of this world, material life, even in this life in this world, still constantly remembering about Krishna, his activities and his mercy to us. If we do like that, you will reach that state eventually. That is Bhagavata Dharma. Kayena Vaja Manasendriya Erva. Everything done, mind, intelligence, body, everything completely in Krishna's service. Mukhyadastu Mahalkrabayaiva Bhagavad Kripalesyadva. This is another sutra which later. It says here, Mukhyadastu Mahalkrabayaiva. Only by the mercy of Mahalmas, it can happen very quickly. This, if there is mercy from the Mahalma. Mahalmas means those who are Mahalmanastu Mamparta Devim Prakriti Mashridaha. That Devi Prakriti, one who has taken complete shelter of Krishna, they are Mahalma. When their mercy comes, it can happen very easily, he says. Mahal Krabayaiva Bhagaval Kripalesyadva. In other words, in order to have that bhakti, Krishna bhakti or Krishna consciousness, the main the easiest path is, he says here, great personal, Mahalmas, their mercy. Mahalmas, their mercy. Or Bhagaval Krabayaiva Kripalesyadva, or a little mercy from Krishna. Either mercy from Mahalmas or Krishna's mercy. One of these two things has to happen. Therefore, often in order to get Krishna's mercy also, Mahalmas' mercy is the key. Mahalmas' mercy is the key. Says here, Mahal Sangastu Durlabho Agamyo Amoghaschaha. It's very difficult to Mahal Sangastu Durlabho Agamyo Amoghaschaha. It's very difficult to get the association of Mahalmas. And also, if you see Mahalma, it's also difficult to recognize them, isn't it? And even if you are able to know that they are Mahalma, to please them also, it's very difficult. Please them also is very difficult. Salsango Shevadhir Nranam. He says, Tadeva Sadhyadam, Tadeva Sadhyadam. So, so, first thing, detachment from this world and continuously absorbed in hearing and chanting and kirtanam, and also at the same time association with the devotees, satsanga dwara and tadwara bhagavad krupa. Eventually it will develop into Krishna's mercy in that way. So here in this particular sutra, he says here that in order to get that bhakti firm inside, there is only one route: continuous remembrance of Krishna. Continuous remembrance of Krishna. That means to know that all sense objects are causes of distress in one form or the other, and only solution or protection, only escape from root is this by Krishna's mercy. And this conscious awareness, when it comes, then he will start inquiring. Otherwise, the inquiry won't begin. That is why often you will see in the Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says, Anityam Asukham Lokam. Isn't it? Imam Prapi Bhajasvamam. There is a verse like that. Anityam. To recognize that world is temporary. There is nothing in this world we have to protect. To eventually we couldn't do anything about it. Anityam. It is temporary. asukham. No matter what you do in this world, eventually it will all come in the form of distress. In some form, it will come. Like, as you know, that the three kinds of distresses, adhyalpiyam, adhibhaudiyam, adhidevigam. The easier way to understand is that all problems related to the body, one, body will give you trouble, illnesses or some kind of problems will happen inside the body. Then all the problems from the mind, like kamam, krotham, anger, lust, greed, envy, all sorts of problems within the body. And thirdly, all the problems that is thrown at us from the world outside. All problems in this world, if you look, it will fall into one of these three. Either from one's own body, or from one's own mind, or from the world outside. It cannot be anything else. It has to be in one of these three. So, those three things, as long as they are there, it will always be there. It is pointless to think that we can escape from this. Escape is this. Krishna says that when we accept that, this reality, that the mind, body and the world outside is all sources of misery, that's what Krishna is saying, anityam asukham lokam. Knowing this and then taking Krishna shelter, imam prapya bhajasvamam. That is the process Krishna has spoken. So, the earliest, easiest thing Krishna says, hearing about Krishna and kirtanam and chanting the holy name. That is nama japam, chanting the holy name, glorifying kirtanam, and also hearing about Krishna. Once you have got a taste for that, then immediately what will happen is, you always want to be with the devotees. This is the beauty of satsangam. That once you have developed some taste for it, to hear about Krishna, to hear a Bhagavadam, and some attachment to the holy name, chanting the holy name, kirtanam, and also hearing about Krishna, if all these things are happening inside, in a subtle level, if it's happening, then you want to be with the devotees. You don't want to go and mix with others in any way. So, continuous hearing and through satsangam, that if a person gets that taste for that, then he can make it. He can make it happen. Then it will go very fast. It won't, because we haven't got the taste yet. Therefore, we are always scrutinizing everything. Listen, there's no taste for it. That's why. The taste hasn't developed inside. So, even after writing Narada Bhakti Sutram, when he was wandering around, it was that one day when he arrived Vedavyasa Maharshi's ashram, which is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 5th chapter of the 1st canto, where he arrives there. And by now, he has compiled Bhakti Sutram. Bhakti Sutram was compiled before that. And when he compiled that, he says there that Srinarada Maharshi was instructed, he has instructed Srimad Bhagavatam to Vedavyasa Maharshi. That you know. In that 5th chapter, he says, Sadyo hridi avarudhyade trakribi shushrushubhi takshanat. In the Bhagavatam, when you begin there, the dharma projjita kaitavotra paramo nirmatsaranam sadam vedyam. Each word in that verse is important. Dharma projjita kaitava. That kaitava dharma means cheating religion. Cheating religion. That is not discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. What is discussed in the Bhagavatam then? Dharmaha projjita kaidavotra paramo. It is meant for not kaidava dharma. What is kaidava dharma means? Kaidava dharma means this. A simple example. Cheating religion we call it, isn't it? Cheating religion is this. For 50 pence, I buy a packet of incense or something and offer it to Krishna and asking Krishna to give me $50 million. This is kaidava dharma. In simple terms, that's what it is. This is modern religion, isn't it? Many places, this is how religion is understood. I'll spend 50 pence, want to do business with Krishna all the time. When we have not come out of this mood of this doing business with Krishna, it is not possible, it is kaidava dharma. For them, for such people, Srimad Bhagavatam can't help. That's why Vedavyasa Maharshi puts this condition in the beginning itself. Dharma, projjita, kaidava otra, paramo, then what else? Narmatsaranam satam vedyam. Narmatsaranam. He has no more malsaryam. Malsaryam means to compete with each other. To compete with each other. In Bhakti Yoga, always we sit in the back bench, not in the front bench. That's the difference. In Bhakti Yoga, we don't sit in the front bench, we sit in the back bench. If another devotee is making progress, if he is hearing better, if he is chanting better, one has to feel happy that he is becoming a better devotee. See? Whereas there is no place for matsaryam or envy in bhakti. There is no place for matsaryam or envy in bhakti. And that's not easy, because we have come from the material world. We have brought with us all the garbage with us. Even spiritual world also, we have to compete each other, isn't it? So if you sit on the back bench, Krishna will come and sit with you. You understood bhakti, what bhakti means. But if you sit in the front bench and show that I am that great devotee in this world, everybody should follow me, I am that person, and Krishna says, wait, you are not ready yet. You have to wait some time. So that nirmatsaranam word is in reference to that. Nirmatsaranam satam vedyam, always aware. Vastavam atra vastu shivadam. The thing, topic that is discussed, that vastu, is about that vastu. It doesn't say, the word is not used as Krishna or anyone like that. It says that vastu. Why vastu? Vastu means this, that it's talked about that soul in the whole creation, that soul which is that vastu. Vastavam atra vastu shivadam. Then if you understand that vastu properly, the soul properly, all these three kinds of distresses will leave us. All the three kinds of distresses will leave us. That is what Bhagavadam is telling us. If you understand the soul, these three distresses will go. There is no other way you can escape from these three distresses, which means the distress of the body, distress of the mind, and distress from the world outside. In order to free from these three distresses, which is generally referred to Adhyatmiyam, Adibhaudiyam, Adidevigam, to free ourselves from these three, there's only one way you can do that. That is by discussing about the soul, Krishna. Body, soul, Krishna. Vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. Tapatray means these three kinds of distresses. Srimad Bhagavade Mahamuni Grade. Mahamuni Vedavyasa Maharshi has compiled Srimad Bhagavadam for this purpose. So when he arrived to see Vedavyasa Maharshi in Badrinath to discuss, to see what Vedavyasa is doing, Narada Maharshi thought, let me see what he is doing now. So when he went there, Vedavyasa Maharshi was sitting like this, with his hand supporting the face in a very thoughtful mood, did not know what to do, because he was thinking, I have done so much for the benefit of this world. He is Krishna's literary incarnation, isn't it? He has given us all the shastram, and still feeling some emptiness inside. So he felt that, what is that I have not done that has not made, that has not given me that happiness of my... Because great sages, they are very duty-bound. They know that they have to, they have very committed to their work, what they are doing. They had no selfish interest. All interest Vedavyasa had was somehow or the other, people in the age of Kali should get this benefit of, should be kept in the control of some religious process, some spiritual life. If you don't keep them, people in spiritual life, you know what will happen. Nobody has to tell you that. What will happen if people have no spiritual life? There will be practically no difference between the animal kingdom and the human species, isn't it? And it will end up in all kinds of frustrations in life and disasters. So, knowing very well out of his compassion for us, Vedavyas decided to give us this knowledge of the higher world, a transcendental existence. And he compiled all these Puranas, Upanishads, everything, still feeling that vacuum inside. It is then that he comes there, and Narada, he had this doubt, have I not spoken about the truth enough? About the truth means the soul enough. And in that mood when he was there, Sri Narada Maharshi comes and speaks to him Srimad Bhagavatam. Isn't it? Exactly, that's a mistake you have committed. You have not. And he says here, Ahuda yome shikram darshanam yadi chetasi. Ahuda yome shikram darshanam yadi chetasi. Narada Maharshi is saying to Vedavyas, it's like this, that in my last life, I was that Shudra boy, son of that servant maid, and I had this fortunate, it's all there in the first canto. You can read that. They're a very important chapter. That I had this experience with the sages. Sages gave me some taste for hearing. Because that's how Narada Maharshi's spiritual life started, from hearing, isn't it? That is the beginning of Narada Maharshi's spiritual life. That's why in Srimad Bhagavatam Shravanam, hearing is given the highest importance. Because from hearing it all started. As I mentioned last time, that hearing is the most subtle process of all the five senses. So hearing is important. So just by hearing it happened to him, he says, Narada Maharshi says, and then when I went to walk towards the north, he says, after that, and after mother's death, and walked around this river, Ganga River, and I sat down in the forest, and I was meditating on Krishna, and for a moment Krishna gave me inside the realization, Krishna's presence inside, first happened, and then suddenly he disappeared, I opened my eyes, and he saw Krishna outside. So first inside, and then outside. When he saw outside, Narada Maharshi paid his obeisances to Krishna, and Krishna says to Narada Maharshi that I have given you this one time an opportunity to see me. You won't see me again in this lifetime. But you have seen me now. You understood what I am. Now you sing my glories. Because Narada Maharshi was a Gandharva in his previous life. He was a Gandharva, he fell down. So singing was a natural vasana in him. So told him, you sing my glories, wander around this world. Anytime you want to see me, you remember me, I will come there. That's why Narada Maharshi says to Vedavyas, Ahudi, Ahuda Ivame Shigram, Darshanam Yadi Chedasi. Narada Maharshi shows his veena, that instrument to Vedavyas, and says to him, every time when I want to remember Krishna, I just start playing with this string. As soon as I play the strings, immediately he appears in front of me. And that is Narada Maharshi's situations. So, every time when I call him, I won't see him outside, but he appears inside me and tells me what I have to do. Tadarpil agilacharadam tadvismarena parmavyakuladedi. So, Narada Maharshi says, from that moment onwards, after Krishna disappeared, till now, I have never thought about anything else in this world except Krishna. So you can imagine Narada Maharshi's state of mind, continuously absorbed in Krishna all the time. And I am traveling all through the universe in this way, with this veena in my hand and singing Krishna's glories. I am traveling all over. He says, so, Aho Devarshi Dhanyoyam. In the first canto you will see this. Aho Devarshi Dhanyoyam Yal Kirtim Sharnga Dhanvana Gayan Madhyan Nidam Tandraya Ramayat Yaduram Jagad. Then, he says there that this Narada Maharshi is the most fortunate person. Gayan Madhyan Nidam Tandraya Ramayat Yaduram Jagad travels the whole creation completely, always singing about Krishna, and appears wherever is necessary. Krishna sends him as his representative in many, many instances. In the Srimad Bhagavatam you can see, Mahabharatam also you will see. And through that Narada Maharshi, we got these two great literature. What was that? First, Mahabharatam, as well as the Ramayanam and Srimad Bhagavatam. All of them due to Narada Maharshi's mercy, isn't it? Who taught Vedavyas about this? Sri Narada Maharshi taught the science of bhakti. Who taught Valmiki Ramayanam? Sri Narada Maharshi taught. So both Valmiki and Vedavyas, two great personalities, both of them received that mercy from Sri Narada Maharshi. And he continuously still travels singing Krishna's glories. Aho Devarshi. Devarshi is called Devarshi. Dhanyoyam is the most fortunate person. Yal Kirtim Sharangadhanvana. Sharangadhana means that Krishna's another name is Sharangadhana. The one who has got that particular bow in his hand. And glorifying him, he travels around. And Narada Maharshi says, I am fully satisfied and totally situated in the spiritual platform. And then Narada Maharshi says in the next sutram, what happens to a person? What happens to a person who has reached that state? What will happen to him? That is the next sutram. Yat prapya na kinchit vanchati na shochati na dveshti na ramate no utsahi bhavati. Few things. This is very much a repetition of the words Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. Brahmabhuta prasannalma na shochati na kankshati. That same thing Sri Narada Maharshi says, Yal prapya, one who has reached that state, na kinchit vanchati, na shochati, na dveshti. He comes to that state, there is no more desire for anything anymore. And no hankering after anything, no lamentation either. No hankering, no lamentation. That is that state. That is that state. No hankering, no lamentation. It's a very difficult thing, isn't it, to reach that state. No hankering and no lamentation. And he says here, Yal prapya na kinchid vanchadi, na shochadi. What else? Na dveshti na ramate notsahi bhavadi. No na dveshti. He doesn't have any anger towards anyone. All that is gone from him completely. Na dveshti na ramate. Nor he is feeling elated or excited about anything in this world. And nab ulsahi nabhavadi. He is not very enthusiastic about anything either. It's that state of consciousness. That is what happens to that person. He lives in this world waiting for the body to go. Waiting for the body to go. That's what he says. Yal prapya na kinjil vanchadi na shochadi na dveshti ramate na ramate no dosad. Sahi bhavadi, no utsahi bhavadi. So, he does not offend anyone and he does not get excited by anything, and for selfish reasons he doesn't operate in this world anymore. And this is that perfection state, shanti, total peace inside. Total peace inside. If you look into Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says exactly the same thing. If you look in the sixth chapter, it says, Yam labdhva chabaram labham manyade nadhiyam tata yasmin stito na dukhena guru napi vijalyade. Have you heard that verse? It's a very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Yam labdhva chabaram labham. That by getting that thing, by getting what? He says here. By getting what? Yam labdhva chabaram labham manyade nadhiyam tata. One comes to realize that there is nothing higher than that. That's the first thing. That he has reached that state, yam labdhva chabaram labham manyadena dhiyam tada. You have reached that state where you are not looking for anything anymore. Now we are looking for something, isn't it? We don't know where to look for. We are looking everywhere, here, there, every Vrindavan, Mayapur, Dwaraka. Wherever we find, we look for everywhere. And we are not getting it. That's why we are looking still, isn't it? Looking never finishes, isn't it? Yam labdhva chabaram labham manyadena dhiyam tada. Krishna is saying that this is a thing, this bhakti. Once you have got it, then you won't be looking for anything anymore. That's the main thing. Yam labdhvaj, that is the beauty of bhakti. If you have got it, then you won't be looking for it anymore. Everything, till then, you will be keep on looking, 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 everywhere. Yam labdhvaj abram labham manyadhi nadhiyam tada. Then, yasmin sthido na dukhena gurunabhi vijayalade. If you are situated in that state, these are the symptoms of a yogi who has come to that perfection. He's saying, Yasmin sthito na dukhena. Nothing can disturb him anymore. Guru na api vijayalade. Even if they can be, the whole world can turn upside down, it won't disturb him. It won't disturb him. So, he won't be shaken by anything anymore. Why? Because he has realized the truth. He has realized the truth. And that is what is difficult to understand, isn't it? What is that state? That's what it is difficult to explain this also theoretically how to explain it, because this is all realizations. They are talking to us their realizations. Yam labdhva chabaram labham manyadena adhigam tatam yasmin sthito na dukhena guruna api vijayate. Whatever happens will not cause any more waves inside. Mind is not working anymore. Mind is completely in peace. There is no more mind operating anymore. For us, even a slight thing is sufficient, isn't it? Immediately mind pops up straight away. Or then false ego pops up. And then we are completely under their control. And then what they dictate to us, we keep doing it in this world. Well, that's the reality. So here, this state, Krishna is saying here that that Dhyana Yogam, that is when Dhyana Yogam Krishna discussed, it comes there. Kimalabhyam, in the 10th canto also you will see. Kimalabhyam Bhagavati Prasanne Shrinigedani Tadha Abhidalparara Ajan Nahi Vanchandi Kinchana. In the Bhagavadam, the same thing Krishna says there, that Kimalabhyam Bhagavati Prasanne Shrinigedani. If Mahalakshmi, who is with Krishna all the time, if Krishna is pleased with us, then Tadha Abhidalparara Ajan Nahi Vanchandi Kinchana. That what is there for them to worry about, to get anything? After all, that a devotee in that state, he has no desire anymore, not even in liberation. Not even in liberation. In the Bhagavadam, if you look in the 11th canto, in the 20th chapter, you will say, Na kinjil sadhavo dhira bhakta ekantino mama vanchantya vimayadattam kaivalyam avunarbhavam. That Krishna says there, Na kinjil sadhavo dhira bhaktya ekantino mama. Ekantino mama, ekanta bhakti. Ekanta bhakti means one who has gone very high in spiritual life, in bhakti. One who has gone very high in spiritual life. One who has reached that state, Vanchandevi mayadattam kaivalyam apunarbhavam. That to those devotees who are very elevated in their self-realization and they have understood what they are, they have understood what Krishna is, and they are completely in that platform all the time, Krishna never gets satisfaction glorifying them in the Bhagavatam. He never gets any satisfaction because he considers them as the best among the devotees. You will see some verses there. Akinjanasya, dandasya, shandasya, samachedasa, maya, sandushta manasa, sarve, sukhamaya, disha. He says that devotees are like this, Krishna says. Akinjanasya, dandasya, shandasya, samachedasa. These are all their qualifications. What are they? Akinjanasya, they don't possess anything in this world. Nothing in this world they got. Dandasya, shandasya. They are complete control of the senses and the mind. Complete control of the senses and the mind. Shandasya, always in shandi, in peace. Nothing disturbs them anymore. Samachetasa, always mind, seeing everywhere, all as Krishna's presence in every living entity. Every living entity. This is a big thing, isn't it? It's very difficult how to see Krishna in every living entity. But this is a mandatory requirement if you want to progress in bhakti process. That you can't have enemies in this world. You can't have enemies in this world. In the Bhagavadam, after hearing 29 chapters, Uddhava said to Krishna, it is a very difficult thing because ragadvesham is always there inside. You will have attachment to someone, aversion to someone. As soon as you come into contact with any person in this world, you will have some people you like, some people you don't like. This is a part of this world that you can't take it away. So the only solution, Krishna says, if you want to get out of this, and that has to go completely from inside, the easiest process, Krishna says, see everyone as Krishna, as represented. So that every time when you see someone you don't like, you look at him and think that this is Krishna is coming in this form, like that. Otherwise, what will happen? Inside, it will be boiling. That is difficult to get it out, isn't it, from inside. So, see everyone like this. He says, Praname, Dandavad, Bhumam, Ashwa, Chandala, Gokharam. Then, Uddhava, you do this, he said. Then when you see somebody whom you don't like, fall down on the ground and pay your obeisances to him first. Praname, Dandavad, Bhumam, Ashwa, Chandala, Gokharam. That Dandavad Pranam, we say, isn't it? Praname, Dandavad, Bhuman. Ashwa Chandala Ghogaram. That Dandavan Pranam you do to anybody, doesn't matter, whoever it is, you pay your obeisances. If you do that, that person will not contaminate your inside. It's not for his purpose you are doing that. For your own benefit you have to do that. That's what Krishna is saying there. So Krishna said this to Uddhava also in the Bhagavadam. And here you can see Akinjanasya, Dandasya, Shandasya, Samachedasa. These are all pure devotees' definition. If you ask somebody who is a pure devotee, this is the definition. Akinjanasya, Dandasya, Shandasya, Samachedasa. Samachedasa means everyone in this world is same Krishna's expansions. Nobody is your friend, nobody is your enemy. It's Krishna has come. If they are giving you trouble in some way, you have to take it like that. Krishna has sent me for me to experience my prarabdham through him. It is Krishna who had sent him like that. This we have to accept it. If you don't accept it, it is difficult. Otherwise, ragadvesham will get worse and worse day by day. We will have loads of enemies in this world and it will all come back at the time of death. So in order to forget them before leaving this body, we have to settle the accounts here before that death comes. So therefore, Krishna is saying there that Right now, practice this, he says. Anyone who is giving you trouble, first of all, those who are giving you a helping hand or those who are friendly with you, don't worry about it. They don't cause you much problem. It's the other one who are the enemies. We have created a lot of enemies in this world through our action. Sometimes you think you have not done anything to someone, still he becomes inimical to you. Why? So that is where Shastram can help us to understand that there is some prarabdham from previous life, that something has happened, and that prarabdham is now coming through that person. Krishna has sent him, as Krishna is coming through that person. If you can take it that way, that is helpful. Krishna is saying, that's the only way you can get out of ragadvesha. Otherwise, it's not possible. So, that is the important thing, that ragadvesha vimukteistu vishayan indriyaischaran. Bhagavad Gita says there, isn't it? So how to escape from ragadvesham? Because if all these things are not sorted before death happens, this will all come and haunt us at the time of death. The people whom we have hated the most, they'll be the first in the front, standing in front of us at the time of death, saying, and then you'll be thinking, I couldn't do anything about him. And all other thoughts will develop. And where will be Krishna then? There won't be any thought about Krishna at that point. It will be the person whom you are dealing with all over the life. So that's why it's mentioned like that. So, we're talking about this devotee, pure devotee. Akinjanasya danda. Akinjanasya means one who has no possessions in this world. Everything is Krishna's. Dandasya, one who has complete control on the mind and the senses. Shandasya, always that shandi inside. There is always shandi inside. Not any emotions, vigaram. Vigaram is not a symptom of spiritual life. Vigaram is something, excitement comes, excitement goes. Shandi is a permanent state. That's why it's in the Bhagavad and Bhagavad Gita, shandi is given the word used. Shandi means totally in peace with the world. Shandasya, samachetasa. Samachetasa means equal mind towards everyone. If you see Krishna is present in everyone, then you can't feel any enmity towards him, isn't it? You can't feel any enmity towards that person. Because it's Krishna who is present there. What can I feel enmity towards that person? If you think it that way. Shandasya samachedasa. Then what else? Maya sandushta manasa. Always happy in my association. Means in remembrance of the soul. Because he has realized that I am that soul. Is not anymore the body. Maya sandushta manasa. For him, Krishna says, sarve sukhamaya disha. The whole world is nothing but a place of happiness. Surveys in all directions, it's only happiness that's coming to him, not misery anymore. Maya sandushta manasa sarve sugamaya disha. And in the next verse he said, niravaksham munim shandam nirvairam samadarshinam anubrajamyaham nityam puyaye tyangri renubhi. He says, niravaksham, he has no desire, no prayers any time to Krishna, give me this, give me that. That's all left him long ago. Munim, Shandam, is always in Shandi state. Nurvairam, no enemy at all, anywhere in this world. Nurvairam, Samadarshinam, because he has no enemy, he sees everyone on an equal platform. Anuvrajamyaham Nityam, such person, such devotees, Krishna says, I follow them. He says, I follow those people. Why? Puyeye Tyangrire Nubhi. I take the dust from their feet and put it on my head so that I can get purified. Krishna says about these devotees like that. That is how much value Krishna gives to those devotees who have reached that state. You can see this. If you practically observe people who are gone in the advanced in the spiritual life, this is the proof, the way they lived in this world. Everything belonged to this world. Nothing is mine, number one. Complete dependence on Krishna all the time. Everything Krishna is maintaining. Krishna is feeding me. Krishna is keeping me going. Krishna is giving me shelter. These are the symptoms of spiritual life. Not the dress and the danda. That is all another thing. But this is the internal development of a person. Institution, organization, they are all there to get this understanding inside. But if we get stuck in the other things, the external dress and external positions and all that, then the principle will be lost in that process. So it does not matter where it comes from, which part of the world, wherever you find these qualities, what Krishna is talking about here. If it is found in a person who is selfless, giving everything to the world, recognizing it is Krishna's property, handing over everything to Krishna, and living in this world in a totally surrendered mood to Krishna, accepting, being satisfied with what Krishna has given, no inimical towards anybody, and in that peaceful state, always existing and carrying on with their life in this world, that is a devotee. That is a symptom of a devotee. Akinjanasya, dandasya, shandasya, samachedasa, maya, sandushta manasa, sarve sukhamaya disha. After saying this, that Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, such devotees who have reached that state, tribhuvana vibhava hedave pyakunda smriti ajidalma suradebir vimurgyat na chaladi bhagaval padaravindam levan mishardam avi yasa vaishnavagriya. This is in the prayers from Nimiyogi, Nimi Navayogi discussions in the Bhagavadam. He says that such devotees, whatever you offer them, they will not accept it. They are not interested in all your so-called material things, anything. But even if you tell them that if you can forget Krishna for a second and engage in some material activities, if you do that, we'll offer you everything in this world. They will say, Levan nimishartham abhisav vaishnavagriya. They are such devotees. They will say, no, we can't do that. They are so attached to Krishna. Attachment to Krishna means attachment to the soul inside, that is Krishna's part and parcel inside, or Krishna's presence inside. In other words, they know that they are not the body, they are that soul. And soul does not require anything else in this world to make the soul happy. Soul never gets any happiness from the material objects. This happiness is all in the mind, in our mind and through the senses. We feel this pleasure from this world. So, Patanjali also says the same thing in Yoga Sutram. Then, what he says there is, Parinama tava samskara dukher gunavurti virodhacha dukhameva sarvam vivekinam. So, Patanjali's statement is, all materialist happiness eventually will end up in distress. Eventually you will end up in distress. Therefore, what will happen is, all the moment you have under anxiety, will I lose this, will I lose that? And because there is desire for sense enjoyment, that will encourage me to engage in sense enjoyment again. And material modes of nature are constantly changing. Accordingly, our happiness also will change. That is why, when you are engaged in sense gratification, at one time you feel a very high degree of happiness in sense gratification. Next time, when you are engaged in the same sense gratification, you don't get the same kind of happiness from that. What is the reason? Because the modes have changed. The modes of material nature has changed because of that. So, whether it is in the sadhana state or later on in the realized state, both states, this material happiness, in the case of a person who has got good discrimination, is distress. Whether it is in the sadhana stage or even after self-realization, this happiness from the material world is always a distress. So, girayo varshadhara abhir hanyamana na vivyadhu abhibhuyamana vyasaner yadha adokshada chetasaha. So, this if you want, in the Bhagavadam, if you look in the 10th canto, where there is a sharad varnanam, you know how the seasons changes in Vrindavanam. Vedavyasa Maharshi devoted one whole chapter to discuss the change of seasons. If you observe that, you will see that. And it links, he changes the season he is describing there and links everything to spiritual life. If you observe, you can read that, and that chapter. That is in the 20th chapter, in the 10th canto. There he says there, Girayo Varshadhara Abhiram, that mountains were standing there, heavy rains were falling on the mountains. And Vedavyasa Maharshi, next thing what he says is, just like he says, devotees who are completely surrendered to Krishna and taken shelter, they are not disturbed over anything. Exactly like the mountains who were receiving the rainfall, and how they were not affected by the rainfall, heavy rainfall, but mountains still stood there, unaffected by anything. Similarly, devotees who are completely surrendered to Krishna, they were like those mountains who were never disturbed over anything. In other words, happiness and distress does not touch a devotee. So, whatever that happens, a devotee is able to take that as Krishna's. It is Krishna who is doing all these things. Tarati shokam atmavit. Upanishad says like that. Tarati shokam atmavit. Atmavit means one who has realized the soul. One who has realized the soul, he transcends distress and happiness. Tarati shokam atmavit. Distress doesn't touch him anymore, because he has realized the truth. Just realize the truth. Devotee has no enmity or anger towards anyone. Dukhanushayi dvesha, sukhanushayi ragaha. If you are feeling dvesham towards anyone, dvesha means hate towards anyone, that will cause distress. And if you are feeling attachment to anyone, that will create sukham, happiness inside. That's why it is mentioned. This is from Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, not from Bhakti Sutra. Patanjali's Yoga Sutra says, Sukhanushayi ragaha. If you are feeling happiness in the association of someone, if you are feeling happiness, Sukhanushayi ragaha, that means there is attachment there. Similarly, if you are feeling distress in someone's presence, Dukhanushayi dveshaha. Dvesha means this hate there is there inside. That's why you are feeling the distress. So, these objects or personalities who are giving distress, our reaction towards them is called hate. Is called hate. And feeling who is giving happiness to us and feeling attachment towards them is called attachment or raga. Raga means that. Some objects or some persons in this world are giving you happiness, so you are feeling some attachment for them, and that is called ragam or attachment. Some other people or some objects in this world are giving you distress in this world, so you have a hate towards them, that is called dvesham or aversion. Dvesham or aversion. So, Krishna also says this, samoham sarvabhudeshu name deshuvastina priya. If you remember in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says this, samoham sarvabhudeshu name deshuvastina priya. That is Krishna's position. Samoham sarvabhudeshu. All living entities are same to me. Or same to me. Name deshuvastina priya. I have no anger towards anyone, nor I have any love for anyone. I am transcendental. Completely transcendental. So, if you accept that all other living entities also are Krishna's expansions present in that particular body, how can one create any ragadvesham towards them? So, bhudairakramyamanobi dhiro daivavashanyugai tadvidyanna chalein margal anyashiksham chideru vratam. In the Saptama Skandam, in the seventh canto, if you read, this Atreya Maharshi, whom we meet again in the 11th canto, he talked to Prahlada before. Same Atreya Maharshi has spoken to Prahlada before. In the 11th canto, what you find? He's talking to Yadu, King Yadu, isn't it? That's that famous 24 spiritual masters. But in the 7th canto, you will see same Atreya Maharshi talking to Prahlada. Kaveri River, on the banks of the river Kaveri, this Dattatreya Maharshi was lying down on the sand. And by chance, Prahlada comes there. Prahlada was a king. He comes there with many other friends and starts walking in that area where he was lying down. When Prahlada saw this king, saw this Dattatreya Maharshi, went up to him, paid his respects to him, and asked the same question like the way King Yadu has asked. In answer to that, he says there, Bhudai akramyamanobi dhiro deyavashanyugai tad vidvan na chalein marga nushiksham chiteru vratam. Prahlada says to him, how come you are so happy? You don't have anything in this world. You have no house to live. You have no clothes even. Your food is not guaranteed. There is nobody offering you any food. And still you are looking so happy and satisfied and in blissful state. Me, I've got everything, but I'm not feeling that happiness. So why is it like that? Prahlada asked this question to Atreya Maharshi. Atreya Maharshi is answering there. I learned many things, he says, from this world. This is the way a process to learn. That I learned from this earth, he says, Yada akramyamanobi dhiro deyavashanyugai. Whatever people do in this world to Mother Earth, she tolerates, isn't it? She tolerates that. I have learned this from Mother Chidi. Chidi means the earth. From the earth I have learned this one quality. No matter what anybody does to you, tolerate it. Don't take it more than that. That is Devashanugai. It has happened due to Krishna's arrangement. It has happened. Bhudai akramyamanavi dhiro Devashanugai. He is dhira who can tolerate that. He is the... Tad vidvan na chalein margal anyashiksham chideru vratam. Such a person will not deviate from his route, what he has to go through. He knows his goal very well. In other words, he knows what he is looking for in this world, self-realization. He wants to come to the spiritual platform. So therefore, he says, I'm not interested in anything what's going on in this world. In this world. Budhair akramyamanobi. No matter how much you are giving trouble to us, to Mother Earth, she does not respond. She does not react. If she wants to respond, she can. But she does not. She tolerates it. And I learned this from Mother Earth. That tolerance level. So then after that, he says here, a devotee has no particular attachment or aversion towards anyone. Attachment or aversion towards anyone. So, therefore, he says here, that in the Bhagavatam also you will notice this. There is another thing called Rati. These are all different words to. Rati is different from happiness. Rati is different. Rati, in Uddhava also says to Krishna at the last minute, when Uddhava was leaving Krishna, he says to Krishna that that let there be Rati in my mind for you. Rati means that attachment for you, attachment for Krishna. So there he mentions there that the Sandam Samibe Ramanam Rati Pradam. In 2-3 places you will see this. When something is favorable to you in this world, mind feels some kind of happiness from that. And that happiness what you derive from the material life, that is temporary. That will not last very long. So Pingala, if you remember that Pingala story in the Bhagavatam, out of the 24 spiritual masters, Pingala is one of the spiritual masters for Dattatreya Maharshi, isn't it? Out of the 24, Pingala. Pingala was a prostitute. And she lived in Mithila. And she used to dress up every day and waiting for her customers to come. And she used to entertain them and they used to give her a lot of money. And this is how she lived there. And due to a very short association with Dattatreya Maharshi, Dattatreya Maharshi was walking through the street. Suddenly he noticed this house, Pingala's house. He went and sat down outside the house on a bench, which was there outside the bench. It was in the evening hours, just the sun was setting, and he wanted to rest for a while. He wanted to rest for a while there. At that time, Pingala was waiting for her visitors to come, and she came out of the house, and he saw the Dattatreya Maharshi sitting there. So he says to the Dattatreya Maharshi, when he saw the Dattatreya Maharshi, she felt that he was a saintly person. Naturally, a Mahatma's association, even for a second, this is what that story is telling us, can change a person's way of thinking. And Pingala, due to that short association, Pingala had changed her heart. And Pingala asked him that, the Dattatreya Maharshi says to Pingala, Mother, I'm only sitting here for a short while. When the sun rises in the morning, I'll leave. Pingala asked her, would you not like to go somewhere else? So, to stay, the Dattatreya Maharshi says there, I cannot go because if I fall down on the street, these bullockarts which are taking the load into the city for the next day morning for all the goods, they get carried by the bullockarts, isn't it, those days. So, those bullockarts can run over me and I do not want that. I need this body for my spiritual life. Like this, a few things the Dattatreya Maharshi spoke to Pingala. Just by hearing that words, Pingala started realizing that even this person who has nothing in this world, there is something more valuable for him than anything else. And what am I doing here? What is my goal in this world? All I am doing is simply engaged in making money and living a good life here. So that detachment came to Pingala at that moment by meeting the Dattatreya Maharshi. It's a few words what the Dattatreya Maharshi has spoken. The Dattatreya Maharshi also told to Pingala, tomorrow morning, as soon as the sun rises, my dear mother, I leave this place. I won't be here. So, Sudeva Goswami puts it in a very nice way. He says, when the sun rises, I will go. In other words, when spiritual knowledge develops inside, the ignorance will go away. This is what he wanted to say to Pingala. So, next morning, before Pingala wanted to see the Dattatreya Maharshi, by now he was gone. He has left the place. She could never find him. At that time, Pingala sang a song which is very famous in the Bhagavatam. Pingala's Gita. It's very famous in the Bhagavatam. It is from that this verse has come. സന്തം സമീപേ രമണം രതിപ്രദം വിത്തപ്രദം നിത്യമിമം വിഹായ അകാമദം ദുഃഖഭയാദിശോകം മോഹപ്രദം തുച്ഛമഹം ഭജേജ്ഞാഃ. He says, Sandam Samibe Ramanam Radhi Pradam. This is the important thing, that Pingala's fine realization. He says, she says, somebody so close to me and who is giving me all the pleasure. Who is that? The soul inside. Krishna is present inside as a soul and all happiness is coming from there. Even when you are experiencing some happiness in this world, where is the source of that? It is from inside. That's coming. It's not coming from the object. We are thinking the object is giving us happiness. Object is giving us pleasure. But object is not giving it. Object is a dead thing. It is jadam. It cannot give you any happiness. When you see a particular object, a particular person, if you are feeling happiness, it's coming from the soul, priyam. That priyam is coming from the soul. This is all important. Vedantam is very clear on all these things. Sandam samibe ramanam radhipradam. That I mistakenly thought that all these people who are coming to visit me in the evening and night, they are giving me happiness, they are giving me money, they are giving me happiness. But now I realize happiness is not coming from any of them. You see, there was no direct instruction from Dattatreya Maharshi. A short association with him, that was sufficient for Pingala to realize the truth. Just imagine that. A few minutes of association with a Mahatma like Dattatreya Maharshi was sufficient for Pingala to realize that there is something more important. So she sings there, Sandam Samibe Ramanam Radhipradam Vittapradam Nityamimam Vihaya. Then, I unnecessarily created all these desires in me. And I keep on fulfilling these desires, thinking that I'll become happy. I never turn to become happy. I never going to become happy. I realize it now, she says there. Akamadam dukkhamaya adishoga moha pradam tuchamaham bhajetnya. That if I go back to that person who is inside, from whom all this happiness and realizations are coming, priyam towards others, all this, even Pingala's mind, Pingala's intelligence was so good that she was able to think like that. Imagine that. She had no education, she had no training, and she haven't had any shastram understanding, never chanted anything. But in spite of that, how quickly she became inward looking, in a very spot, in a once. That is the power of the association of Mahatmas. They can do that. They can turn your mind, which is going outward looking for pleasure. In 1 second, it will completely put a stop to it and go inward looking towards the soul. And Pingala's realization in the Bhagavadam is very famous. That a person who was in such a state, so absorbed in the senses, so absorbed in the mind, so absorbed in material opulences and enjoyment in this world, in 1 second, the whole thing has been directed to inward looking, to find the truth inside, to the height of self-realization. That is why, Sandam samipe ramanam radhipradam vittapradam. What have they given to me? Why? Pingala at that moment experienced the greatest renunciation of this world, detachment from this world. What is there in this world I am working for, doing all these things? This thought came up in her mind very strongly, and she says there, I will stay with that person inside who is closest to me than anyone else in this creation. That's what she says here. Akamadam dukkhamaya adishokam mohapradam tuchamaham bhajetnyam. What am I doing here? She says, I'm actually offending him inside, from whom all this happiness, what we talk about in this world, the source is Krishna. It is due to Krishna's mercy that we are able to enjoy anything in this world. It is due to Krishna's mercy one is able to speak. It is due to Krishna's mercy one is able to hear. So in all levels, if you take, if it is Krishna's interference is not there, this is not going to happen. So you can imagine from this how grateful we have to be to Krishna for what he is giving us. That without Krishna's mercy, if Krishna withdraws from here, is finished. 1 second, drop dead, gone, finished. Isn't it? So that is the reality. That is the reality. That Pingala realized this, that I've been enjoying and experiencing happiness from all these things. Where did this come from? She started thinking like that, which is a big change in the attitude. And she started realizing that it is coming from that person who is closest to me inside. And sugham sushvava pingala Bhagavatam says, when she realized this, she went and slept. And never opened the door anywhere, slept and went back to spiritual world. So this is how much time it takes for self-realization. If that turning happens, change, attention from the world goes inward towards the soul, it doesn't take very long to get out of this material world. But it is so hard to turn the mind and attention from this world towards the soul. That's a very difficult process. Everyone accepts that. Because that's why all these processes like jnanam, karmam, bhakti, all these things are to help that to happen. So, she says there, viharami munai vaham atmana ramaneena vai. He says, I'm now going to go and enjoy with that person inside with my soul. She says there, viharami munai vaham atmana ramaneena vai. With the soul, I'm going to enjoy now. She says like that. So that is a devotee state. And in that verse also he says here, a devotee has no selfish interest anymore. This is known because all selfish interests are based on the body, isn't it? It's all based on the body. We make big, big plans in this world. For what? Because it's all based on the body. It's nothing to do with the soul. Everything is in relationship with the body. So all our efforts, that's why he said there will be no utsahi bhavati. No more enthusiasm anymore to work in that direction. Because he knows, devotee properly dependent on Krishna knows that Krishna has taken control of him in every level. So Prahlada was answered by Dattatreya Maharshi like the Chaumam, Dugulam, Ajinam, Chiram, Valkalamevava, Vasainye, Abhisampraptam, Dishtabok, Tushta Dhiraham. He says here, Chaumam, Dugulam, Ajinam, Chiram, Valkalamevava. Then I am satisfied with what I have got. Whatever comes to me, I'll accept it. Whether it is a deer skin, or whether it's a bark of a tree, or whether it's a proper cloth, or as a skin from another animal, it doesn't matter, he says. I'll use that for covering myself. And I am also vasenya adabi sampraptam dishtabok tushta dhiraham. If anybody gives me food, I'll eat it. If nobody has given me, I'll just take it. It is my prarabdham. My karma is not to have, Krishna has decided today I'm not supposed to eat. So maybe he does not want me to get fat. Krishna doesn't want me to get fat. Therefore I've decided to live like this. Or sometimes people say that prasadam comes and if there is no sweet there, people say, oh, there is no sweet. What kind of feast is that, we say. So Bhagavatam is telling us that if like that prasadam comes, take it that Krishna doesn't want you to get diabetes. That's why he has not given you the sweet. Or if you say that there is no salt in the food, what kind of cooking is this? All these kind of complaints. Never to complain about anything. Prasadam, particularly, you have to think Krishna doesn't want you to get blood pressure. That's why he's not given put the salt in the food. In that way, we have to keep ourselves satisfied within ourselves. Not that every moment complain about everything in this world. That's not a devotee. That's not a devotional life. Spiritual life is accepting the world as it is. What world throws at you, accepting it. But all attention is on Krishna, on the soul. On the soul. So, saying that, also at the same time, compassion to all other living entities. And at the same time, if somebody is going off the track, one has to talk about that. And at the same time, engage in the soul. It's not that either you have to leave that place if one cannot accept that, or one has to speak about that. And that is what it says there. So, and at the same time, absorbed in serving the other living, seeing every other living entity as Krishna's expansions in this world and serving them. So I'll stop there. We'll continue with the... We'll have a small kirtan for 10 minutes and then we will have a prasadam. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
శ్రమ హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే రామ హరే హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే కృష్ణ హరే హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే రామ హరే హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Glory to Srila Prabhupada.